हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्द्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः Today is the first class in this in 2012. So we all need grace for the continuity of the classes and also for a proper right understanding of the teaching. So let us pray to Dakshinamurti and do the japam 27 times, then we can continue. Okay.
ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये मह्यं श्रियं मेधां प्रज्ञाञ्च प्रयच्छ स्वाहा.
We have to start the new class. New means new text. And you have to continue your reading the Taittiriyam at home so that you becomes thorough. And we'll plan from next class the chanting part of Taittiriya, because I want Taittiriya Upanishad is one thing which I want all of you to get memorized. Don't need to work hard. Be in the class with me for during chanting time and then you'll get it. Become whole, Taittiriya will go to the mind. It's very good. And once you get goes and as also meanings remember, and as you chant, the meanings will come to your mind. So the next class I'll introduce the new text. We'll do the Mandukya Upanishad. We'll start from next class. Mandukya Upanishad. It's very good. Mandukyam again will like how Taittiriyam helped. Mandukyam also will add to your clarity. So next class on we'll start that. And before we start next class, the Upanishad. The fresh Upanishad. But Taittiriyam we should be, we'll practice the chanting also. 10 minutes chanting we'll practice. So that we can also read at home and then get it. Any doubts you have when you're reading the book, Taittiriyam also the meanings, or you can re-listen again, you can always ask me. See that completing the text and going to the new text is not difficult, very easy. But how much do you know? Now, what do you know in Taittiriyam now? If I ask you, you should be able to tell. So, there's no point in going to new Upanishad, but still I thought I'll go. But see that all of you read that Taittiriyam also. Maybe few sections I take in Taittiriyam also, and I'll see that you whether you got it or not when you learn the chanting. And before that, Today I thought let me remind you of the Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam as taught in Drik Drishya Viveka text. I just thought let me remind you that. You were listening to me those days, Drik Drishya Viveka text. And in the text actually, the last part, you know, if you remember all the topics, because it will help you before we enter into any Upanishad study, it will help you. That's why I wanted to remind you. In Drik Drishya Viveka text, we discussed 4 or 5 main topics. The first topic discussed is the analysis of the Jivaha. The Drik Drishya Viveka also. Like how in Tattva Bodha we studied, first analysis of the individual, and analysis of the total, then analysis of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total, And first topic again is, of course, qualifications. So four. And the fifth topic is that palam, jnana palam. Remember that. That fourfold qualifications required for jnanam is the first topic. Then individual analysis is the second topic. And analysis of the total or samashti, Ishvara, is the third topic. And the oneness of the enquiry into the nature of the oneness of the truth of individual and the total is the fourth topic. And fifth topic discussed in Tattvabodha is the jnana phalam. What is the benefit of ascertaining the oneness of the truth of individual and the truth of the individual and the total being one and the same? That's the fifth topic. These are five topics discussed in Tattvabodha Prakarana Grantha. And we also studied this Prakarana Grantham called Drikdrishi Vivekaha. And in that text, how we saw there the analysis of the individual as the composition of three seers. Three perceivers. The perceiver of the external world, perceiver of the sense organs, and perceiver of the mind. Every individual is a composite of three seers, means the seer number one is means the sense organs. The sense organs, the seer of the external world, objects, and the seer of the sense organs. Seer of the external world are the sense organs. And the seer of the sense organs is the mind. And the seer of the mind is Sakshi, the consciousness. The three seers constitute the every individual. But in Tattva Bodha, the individual analysis is presented as a composition of Atma and threefold bodies which constitute the Anatma. Like Sthula, Sukshma, Karna, Sharirani, plus Atma is equal to individual. Then one more analysis is what? Atma plus five layers of personality together constitute the individual. What is an individual? Individual is Atma plus five layers of personality together constitute individual. And the same thing put in different order is what? Differently is what? Atma plus three bodies. Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Sharirani plus Atma. So Anatma alone is divided into three bodies or five layers of personality. So Atma alone is not the individual, or Anatma alone is not the individual. Every individual, every being is a composite of both Atma and Anatma. And how Anatma is divided in as three bodies or five layers of personality, that is presented in Tattva Bodha. Whereas in Drikdrishi Viveka, individual is presented as three seers. And then the three seers also involve what? No, corresponding three seen objects. So external world includes the external world of objects perceived by the sense organs, includes the gross physical body also. And then the mind is the sense organs are the perceived. The mind is the perceiver. Then mind is the perceived, Sakshi is the perceiver. And Sakshi is the ever perceiver, never the perceived, never the seen. Whereas mind and sense organs are also seen, therefore they are relative seers. And Sakshi is the absolute seer. This is the first topic discussed in Drikdrishi Viveka. Why I am talking about this now? So that it will help you to understand next, what I'm going to start next, it will be easy for you to understand. The second topic is, and how does each seer become a seer? Which means, each seer is formed, the formation of each seer and their functions. Discussed in the second topic. How do the sense organs become the seers? How does the mind become the seer? How does the Sakshi become the seer. In fact, Sakshi doesn't become the seer. Sakshi is ever the seer. Sakshi is independently the seer, whereas mind and the sense organs are dependently seers. So how the sense organs become seers, how the mind becomes seers, and how the Atma is the absolute seer, etc., is discussed in the second, as the second topic. And in that context, you also understand how the sense organs, so the external world is very much dependent on the sense organs. External world is dependent for being dependent on the sense organs to be perceived, thereby to become existent. And sense organs are dependent on the mind, function of the mind to be perceived, thereby to have the status of being existent. And mind itself is dependent on Sakshi for its very existence, for it to become conscious and sentient, for it to become functional, thereby to have the status of being existent. Whereas Sakshi is absolutely independent of anything. And in seeing is not an action on the part of Sakshi, it is very nature, very swarupam. This we understood as the second topic of the Drishya Viveka. Is it clear? Then, in that context, the same text explains what is samsaraha. What is bondage also is discussed there. The topic discusses the function, the formation of the mind as a seer. The formation of the seer number 2. How does the mind become the seer? And how does it function? And how the... Then that it explains what is samsara. You know very well, the mind, it says, the textbook says, the mind is something which is indestructible, and mind is constant. The mind, actually, there's a time when the mind functions, there's a time when the mind does not function also. The mind, when it doesn't exist inside the physical body, it is always in deep sleep state. The mind without the body will be only in deep sleep state. When the mind is deep sleep state, means mind is a non-functional mind. Mind without a gross body cannot be a functional mind. Mind is alive, conscious, sentient, but non-functional. Mind inside the physical body can become functional, can become non-functional also. But without the physical body, mind can remain only as non-functional mind. So mind is never, mind is ever conscious mind, ever conscious, ever sentient, but it is non-functional when it is not in the body. Mind can become functional only when it assumes a body, in the body. So, when mind leaves the physical body, and until it assumes another body, in between, mind is non-functional mind. When the mind assumes the gross body, then mind can be functional, mind can be, the time when the mind is non-functional also. So when the mind exists in the physical body, then the physical body is alive. When the mind is functional, physical body is active also. Two things. When the mind is present in the physical body, then physical body is alive and sentient. When the mind is functional, physical body is active. When the mind departs the physical body, body becomes dead. So the death of the body or the life of the body is determined by the presence and the absence of the mind and the body. And activity of the body are in deep sleep state, body is alive but it is not active. Why? Because mind is present in the body, but this mind is non-functional, therefore body also is not active. For the whole body to be active, all the sense powers and powers of organs of actions must be functional. The pranas, okay, the 10 powers must be functional. The 10 powers can be functional, 5 pranas also can be functional, the 15 can be functional, only if the mind is present in the physical body. The mind is not present in the physical body, then the 15 cannot be functional. Even if the mind is present, pranas can be functional. The mind is absent, pranas also can become functional. That is why body becomes dead. But even the mind is present but non-functional, but the sense powers and powers of organs of actions can be present, but if the mind is non-functional, the 10 powers also will not be functional. The 10 powers are non-functional. Are you getting it or not? The 10 powers are non-functional, then my body will be as good as dead. In deep sleep, that's what is called deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, all of us do not move from the bed. All our physical bodies are as good as dead. What is the reason? Because the sense powers are resolved, 5 powers of organs of actions are also resolved, all the 10 powers are resolved, non-functional. Why they are non-functional, therefore body is as good as dead. Not dead. They are present, the powers are present, therefore body is alive, but they are non-functional, therefore body is not active. They are non-functional because the mind is non-functional. Mind is non-functional means what? All the thoughts of the mind are resolved. Therefore, there is no manifestation of knowledge. As I am, the universe is. That manifestation is not there because thoughts are all resolved. Which means mind is alive, present, but mind is non-functional. Thoughts are not there. The thoughts are not there. Knowledge is not manifest. Then powers also can become what? All the powers also become resolved and non-functional. Then the body is not active. So this is the deep sleep state. Then when the mind starts functioning, when thoughts are there, then there is manifestation of knowledge. Then all the sense powers, the thoughts pervade the body, all the sense powers, powers of organs of actions, they all become active, functional. Then the body also becomes active. And so this mind, therefore there is the waking state, dream state, deep sleep state. There's a constant continuing experience of these 3 states of experience we have. There's a waking state experience, dream experience, and deep sleep state experience. This is how mind functions. Mind is always, when mind falls asleep, there is a deep sleep state experience. And the mind is awake, half awake, is a dream experience. Mind is totally awake, functional, then there's a waking state experience. So mind is totally non-functional, deep sleep state. Mind is semi-functional, half awake, then dream experience. Mind is totally awake, then we have deep waking state experience. And in waking, whatever we go through, in waking state we experience what? Every day. And then who wakes you up? You know that? You can say, my wife wakes me up, my husband wakes me up, my children wake me up, my alarm wakes me up. That's not true. Alarm cannot wake you up unless your prarabdha is there to exhaust. Even if you keep alarm, you will not wake up. You will not wake up at all if prarabdha gets over. Okay? And prarabdha wakes you up. Every day we are woken up from sleep by our prarabdha. What that day's coffee, that day's water, that day's juice, that day's bread, butter, and that day water you have to eat, drink, where you have to go, water, you know, pain or pleasure you have to experience, and that every day's account. No? A prarabdha wakes us up and we experience eating we're happy and drinking we're happy and something, some small pain comes and we are not very happy. And we have both pains and pleasures we go through every day. Or only pleasures sometimes. Not having any pain, everything is smooth means it's a pleasure. So every day we go through pain or pleasure or pain in different degree proportion may vary from person to person we go through. And again, in between, suppose we say prabala prarabdha is exhausted in waking state. Whether punyam or papam, prabala prarabdha is exhausted in waking state by going through the pains and pleasures of every day. And you have abala prarabdha, weak prarabdha you have. Then how do you exhaust? That experience, you experience pain and pleasure in dream. Abalam, prabalam. Strong prarabdha and weak prarabdha. Sometimes in dream itself we go through enough suffering or pain or pleasure also we go through, experience, but it becomes on waking up because only dream. So like this, every day we are experiencing pains and pleasures in waking state. Okay, we are going through pains and pleasures in dream state also. And then in between, what now? We have some rest, which is called a deep sleep state. That is because of punyam. You have neither pain nor pleasure. This is how every day after day after day, mind wakes up, mind falls asleep. Mind wakes up, mind falls asleep. Some rest, no pain, no pleasure, no relationship, no jagat, chas. There is nothing, no division, no duality in deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, there is no division. Nowhere, no knowledge. Division is not there. I am this division is not there. Subject-object division is not there. There is no I sense, there is no this sense. There is no pain experience. There is no experience of pain or pleasure. That is deep sleep state. Some punyam, yagza, if you are able to sleep well, not the whole day. Some punyam. Then we have, every day we go through. This is, then what happened? This experience of every day, mind falling asleep, mind waking up, mind falling asleep, mind waking up, again going through pains and pleasures, experiencing, going through the experience of pains and pleasures in waking state and going through the experience of pains and pleasures in the dream state, thereby exhausting our prabala, abala, parabdhas, every day we go through. That's how we exhaust our prarabdha, karma palam. When the prarabdha karma palam ends, then what happens? That particular body life, that body life is over, isn't it? Then the mind quits the physical body. Mind quits the physical body. When the mind quits the body, body becomes dead, becomes disintegrated, finished. But the mind, nothing happens to mind. Mind continues to be alive. It is as alive and conscious and sentient and nice, fresh as it was before in the same body. But the mind, after leaving the physical body, this departure of mind from the physical body is called death. And mind is not dead. Okay? Death of the body. And the mind, what does it do? Again, in keeping with the new set of prarabdha, and assume another new fresh body. It will be born again. So mind entering into the another body is called what? Birth of the body. It is called rebirth. Isn't it? What is rebirth? Understand, who is born here? Mind. Mind being born, mind is not born actually, mind is already there. Mind entering into the new body, thereby life becoming manifest. Knowledge becoming manifest. Mind has to be functional, only then knowledge can become manifest. So manifest for the knowledge beginning, the life manifestation of knowledge is what? Knowledge becoming manifest is the beginning of life. Understand, knowledge becoming manifest is the beginning of life. And for knowledge to become manifest, mind must be functional. For the mind to become functional, it must be within the gross body. Is it clear now? Why? Because only then the bhoga ayatanam, remember this, because it's the abode of enjoyment. Only then experience is possible. Sukha dukkha anubhava is possible only. Experience is possible only if the abode of experience is available. So manifestation of knowledge does not mean the beginning of knowledge. Okay? That is where scientists go wrong. They mistake what now? When the knowledge is manifest, they say beginning of the manifestation of knowledge is the beginning of life. Therefore, they say what now? For the matter comes first, consciousness comes later. They mistake the manifestation of life as the beginning of consciousness. Beginning of life is the manifestation of knowledge, which is mistaken for the beginning of consciousness. Consciousness doesn't begin. Knowledge doesn't begin. You got it? Consciousness doesn't begin, which means knowledge doesn't begin, but knowledge becomes manifest, which is the beginning of life. If the knowledge is not manifest, then life doesn't begin, isn't it? So we say what happens to the mind after the death? Nothing happens, it is fresh. The mind takes a new physical body. When the mind assumes a new body, it becomes functional. It can become functional. Once that becomes functional means, then there will be manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge is always there everywhere and everything. So mind also is what? No, there is knowledge. But it has to become manifest. For the manifestation, mind has to become functional. So again what happens? Again it's like in between the birth, death and birth, that's a deep sleep state. Mind is in deep sleep state, non-functional mind. It is like remaining in deep sleep state. How you are in sleep, so you will be after death. How you are in sleep, so you will be in death also. Nothing to worry. All of us will be very safe and comfortable. No pain, nothing will be there after death. Oh, what will happen to me after death? What happens to you during sleep? I don't know I am. I don't even know I am. I don't know any pain. I don't know any pleasure. I don't know. I don't experience. I don't know the differences. I don't know I am. I don't know the world is. Are you there or not? I am. But I don't know I am. How do you know that you were? Because next day you wake up, no? Therefore you know. So how you are in sleep, so you will be in death. And after death, nothing happens. Which means you will come back wearing new dress. You means the individual comes back, individual mind, no? Comes back with a new dress. Fresh dress. And what happens then? Again starts. Again three states of experience. And pabala paradha in waking state, abala paradha in dream, and some punyam exhaust by having no experience, by sleeping, every day you go through. Again that paradha also exhaust, over. Again what happens? again quit the old body, again take a new body, again you continue. You means what? The mind continues. Like this, day after day, mind functions and we go through the experience of pains and pleasure in waking state, also dream state, and like that, day after day, life after life, janma after janma. Okay? Day after day, month after month, week after week, paksha after paksha, year after year, then it comes, janma after janma also. Mind continues. Nice to know this fact on the very first New Year lesson, isn't it? Janma after janma. Then what happens in pralayam, mahapralayam? The whole world will dissolve, deluge will take place. So what? In tamashti mahapralaya also, what will happen to mind? All the minds will resolve. Again, you will, how you are in sleep, how you are in death, so you will be in mahapralayam also. Mahapralaya, be happy. Not only you, all of you going, all of us going together for a break. Only in death we go different timings, like how, you know, I go to India, I came back, and then somebody else goes afterwards, so like that we go. Like that, going and coming back in death. Whereas in mahapralaya is what now? Together. Only thing, when come back, we won't recognize each other. After death itself, we won't recognize each other. Because completely different, isn't it? Then a new life. What is now? Srishtihi. So Srishti after Srishti also, mind continues to exist. Okay? Not only day after day, week after week, fortnight, month after month, year after year, janma after janma, Srishti after Srishti also, all the human mind, all the minds will continue to survive like that. Again, in keeping with the new set of Parada, we'll assume a new body, again you will come back. In new Srishti, we'll all come back with new bodies. Again, we'll start to pick up where we left the thread and we'll continue to exhaust our prarabdha. Why sanchitam? We have abundance. So every time we exhaust little prarabdha, we accumulate new agami also. So sanchitam, we have enough sanchitam, nothing to worry. As long as karma, big bundle is there, Bhagavan cannot do anything. He has to push you down to makes you exhaust the punya papa, make you get the job done through you, get his account settled. So no way, you will not go anywhere. You will come back. So 2012, no, 2012 is the year, no? They were saying about this pralayam. So we don't need to worry about 2012 pralayam. We can await the pralayam. Let us now, we can have a different change also. So this is called samsara. Okay, what is samsara? I explained very beautifully. So you come back means, again mind will come back after new srishti also. Again it will start. So this experience, or going through the experience of pains and pleasures, in waking state and some in dream state, in between having some rest through deep sleep state, this function of the mind is something which is continuous. Therefore mind is ever indestructible. Therefore as long as the mind surveys, healthy mind surveys, so long will there be continuity of this life of transmigration, and which is called samsaraha. And what makes his mind alive is what? Our karma. That is why we call it karma bandha, samsaraha. It's called bondage of karma, it's called samsara. So in the second topic, Dhritarishi Viveka also introduces, this explains what is samsaraha. How, what the seer number 2 in individual, what is the seer number 2? how the mind becomes a seer, and how mind becomes functional, and how mind is indestructibly there, how the functioning of the mind is, what going through the experience of pains and pleasures, and how it is the experience going through the experience of pains and pleasures is something which is endless. But in between we have some breaks, like sleep, death and pralayam. But it is not the permanent end, isn't it? Again we continue this. This continued. And can we say that do we have any say over this? Can we stop anything here? You are being born again, assuming another body, coming into existence again, you have no say over that. And death, again after death being born also, we have no say over. And after pralaya also coming into existence again, we have no say over. So being born again and again and again and again and again, again going through the experience of pains and pleasures, again and again is completely, what now? We have no say. Uncontrollable. We have no control, no say over that. This is called samsaraha. And in this context, the question comes, what is samsaraha? Then what is the cause of samsaraha? What is that which causes this samsara? So the next topic discussed in the Viveka text is Srishtihi, Srishti creation. The third topic discussed. And here the question comes, why does this textbook introduce the Srishti? Srishti Prakriya is going to be used. Why is Srishti discussed in the text? In Vedanta text, why is Srishti discussed? Why is creation discussed? What is the purpose of discussing the creation? The text discusses creation because text wants to introduce Maya. Srishti is not discussed, Maya cannot be introduced. What is Maya? The power, subtlest power. The subtlest power is actually the subtlest matter, original matter. And power of what? Power of the reality, power of Brahman, Brahma Shakti. So Srishti is discussed in order to discuss the original matter called Maya, the subtlest power. And why should Maya be discussed? Why should the original matter, subtlest power Maya, be discussed? Maya is discussed because in order to introduce the cause of samsara. Maya is introduced to arrive at the cause of samsara. And what is the cause of samsara? Ignorance, ajnanam. Why it has to be discussed? Because only by understanding what is that which causes ignorance, to understand the cause of, ignorance is the cause of samsara. Ignorance is the cause of samsara. But what is the cause of ignorance? Only if you know the cause of ignorance, ignorance can be resolved. If ignorance can be resolved, then samsara also can be resolved. In order to resolve the samsara, you should know the cause of samsara. And the Shastram makes it very clear, cause of samsara bondage is ignorance. And how to dispel ignorance? You have to resolve the ignorance. Only by resolving ignorance, you can resolve the samsara caused by ignorance. So how to resolve the samsara? By knowing the, resolve the ignorance by knowing the cause of ignorance. What is the cause of ignorance? Which means, what is this cause of ignorance means what? What this ignorance is all about? Understanding what ignorance is resolving ignorance. Okay? Resolving ignorance. So like you say, what the wave is. When you say wave is water, it's called resolving wave. Understanding what the wave is. Like what this ignorance is. If you know what ignorance is, ignorance becomes resolved. Ignorance is resolved, ignorance caused samsara also will be resolved. So to know what ignorance is, to understand what ignorance is, we need to understand Maya. You cannot understand ignorance, the cause of samsara, if you do not understand Maya. You cannot discuss Maya if the topic of Srishti is not discussed. Is it clear? So, Srishti is discussed in order to discuss Maya, bring the Maya for discussion. And Maya is discussed to know, to resolve the ignorance in Maya, to understand what ignorance is. And ignorance is to be resolved in order to resolve the samsara. Is it clear? Therefore, the third topic discussed in that Dhritarashtra Viveka is what? Srishtihi. First it tells what is samsara. Now you know very clear what is samsara. Is it clear or not? See, beginningless, endless, indestructible, continuous life of mind. You know, migrating from one body to another body is what? Samsara. Therefore, third topic is what? Srishtihi. And in that Srishti topic, I think I made it very clear. Have I? In that Srishti topic, and the textbook introduces two words. He says, there is absolute reality, Brahman. And this Brahman, the reality, consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, this reality, Brahman, has the power called Maya. The power, which means the power does not exist independent of, outside of consciousness. The power of consciousness, Chichaktihi, Brahma Shaktihi, is otherwise called Maya. Why the Shakti is called Maya? Because the Shakti by itself does not exist independently without outside of consciousness. Therefore, it's called Maya. That which is not by itself, therefore, is called Maya. So, the Shakti, the power is something which you cannot say it does not exist at all, nor can you say it has independent existence. Is it clear? Now, I cannot say here, oh, your seeing power, your hearing power, your power of knowing, your power of perceiving, even the power of taste, etc. I don't see through physical eyes, but I cannot say they do not exist at all. Nor can I say that those powers can exist independent of you, which means you can send them separately, staying at home. Isn't it? If that is possible, then what would have happened? All of you would have fixed thousands of works, huh? For seeing power one job, hearing power one job, seeing power could have been sent to, could have been written at, allowed at home to stay home, to watch television or to watch exhibition or watch something else, would have been sent. And the hearing power alone could have been sent to the class, and I had to, where is Dema's hearing power? Where is Rojanji's hearing power? I have to see whose power has come also, it would be very difficult. who has bunked, who has not, but I won't know. And then sitting here, you're all feeling hungry, and the power of taste alone can be sent to dining hall, wherever it is, to taste and come. See, we cannot deny the fact that all these powers do exist. At the same time, we know those powers do not exist outside of individual. The same way, there's a consciousness reality, but there is power. And power and consciousness, power and power of consciousness are, what no, inseparably one. That's called Brahma. Isn't it? We call it what no? Shaktiman Ishwaraha. Shaktiman Ishwaraha. Shaktiman Ishwaraha. Powerful Lord. Lord is never powerless. Powerless means no more lordship. And so this power is there, and this power, when this power also is non-functional, then the power is what? Actually, it is non-transactable. This power is available, isn't it? Only when it is functional, transactable. So this power, and again, the whole jagat, when you say resolves, in Mahapralaya, what happens? Everything will be reduced to this power only. Everything will remain, all the minds, everything will remain resolved as one inseparable power of consciousness. How it would be in Mahapralaya? You can understand how you are in deep sleep state, so you will be in death. How you will be in death, so you will be in deluge also. So you will not know anything. You cannot know anything. How you are not able to know anything even in sleep. And how can you know how the pralayam would be? I want to see. You cannot see. How the world is when I am asleep. Can you ever try that? When I am asleep, I want to know how the world is, how the people are around, what the neighbors are doing, in sleep. Means you are awake, you are not asleep. If you go around watching everything, you are not asleep, you are awake. Then you can't call it deep sleep. So also, in Mahapralayam, in death also, you cannot know what is happening. You will be in Mahapralayam. So when that whole jagat resolves, then the total power, the original matter, remains resolved, remains one with consciousness, as conscious, remains as consciousness. The power remains as consciousness. Inseparably, as consciousness. Non-distinguishably, inseparably, it remains as only reality, the consciousness, Brahman. And the Samashti Prarabdha gets ready, for fructification. Then only, that's why this Maya is called what? Yoga Nidra. When we fall asleep, that is Bhoga Nidra. Bhagavan's sleep, the whole jagat remains resolved, then Maya remains as one, isn't it? Consciousness, the power remains as consciousness, then we call it what now? Yoga Nidra. Vishnoho Yoga Nidra. That is why we called what? Vishnu Durga. Vishnu's sister. Once she manifests, married, is Shiva Patni. Emma has one Yoga Nidra, which means Bhagavan is asleep. Whenever there is Pralaya, we call it Bhagavan's sleep, Ishwara Nidra. Then how our sleep is woken up. Now we are woken up from sleep by our individual Paradha. And Samashti, this Yoga Nidra also is what now? Disturbed. So Bhagavan's sleep is disturbed, which is the disturbance happens in Maya. What causes the disturbance in Maya? Is it? Is Samashti Paradha. You mean the whole Samashti Paradha karma is ready for fructification? The Srishti has to happen, all the beings have to become manifest. So they had to exhaust their Punya Papas. Then the Maya is disturbed, and the Maya is of two powers. Remember, what are they? Avarna Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti. The Vikshepa we talk about first always. So it is the Vikshepa Shakti and the power of Maya, this the Maya Shakti alone, Nivama Vikshepa Shakti, and throws up the whole Jagat. Vikshipati iti Vikshepaha. It throws up the whole Jagat. And once the all the beings come into manifestation, existence, only after the Vikshepa Shakti throws up the universe, then starts the Avarna Shakti to function. And what does the Avarna Shakti do? Avarna Shakti actually functions at the individual level, at every individual level. And this Avarna Shakti, it covers. Avarna Shakti itself means power of veiling, it covers. It covers what? It covers the difference. Avarna Shakti, when does the Avarna Shakti begin to function? Only after the Vikshepa Shakti finishes its job of throwing up the universe, then Avarna Shakti starts functioning. And Avarna Shakti, what does it do? Avrunoti, it covers. It covers what? It covers the difference. Difference between what? It covers the difference at two levels also. At the total universal level also it covers the difference. It covers the difference at the inside also it covers. It covers inside, it covers outside also. Covering means what? Making every individual not seeing. Inside, it covers the difference between the self and the non-self. Atma anatma noho bhedam avrunoti. Inside and outside, it covers at two levels. And inside covers the difference between the I and the non-I, the self and the non-self. And externally, it covers the difference between the reality, Brahman, and the Namarupa. Externally also it covers, internally also it covers. So what if it covers the difference between this I and the non-I? It covers the difference between the self and the non-self, I and the non-I means, you do not know the difference between the I and the non-I, therefore mixing up is possible. It is the error in perception of I happens because of this mixing up. Error means perception, no, you mistake one for the other. The difference is not clear, you mistake one for the other, isn't it? You mistake the I for the non-I. You mistake the non-I, non-self for the I. Why there is I sense in body, mind sense complex, anatma? Because the body, mind sense complex are three bodies or five layers of personality. There we have I sense because they are all mistaken for I because we mixed up. Which means we mistaking the non-self for the self means self is mistaken for the non-self, isn't it? This error in perception of the self is caused by what? Because of mixing up. Mixing up is because the difference is covered. Covered by what? Avarna Shaktihi. When you mistake the one for the other, what happens? Naturally, limitations of attributes of one become the attributes of the other. Is it clear? Therefore, the limitations of the non-self are mistaken for the limitations of the self, which gives rise to what? The wrong notion about the self. The wrong notion about the self, isn't it? Wrong notion about the self, erroneous notion about the self. Self is what? Ahankara. Just aham is okay, but ahankara means what? The wrong notion about the self. And this alone, the notion that I am this, wrong notion about the self is what? Actually, bondage. I am bound, I am inadequate, I am limited. This notion itself is bondage. There is no real bondage. Okay? Samsarasya karanam ajnanam. Ajnanam is caused by what? Avarna Shakti. Is it clear? And not only this now. This same Avarna Shakti covers externally also. Isn't it? It covers the difference between what externally, inside covers the difference between I and the non-I. Seer and the seen. Drik and Drishyam, Atma and Anatma, difference covers inside. Externally, it covers the difference between reality, existence and the name and form. Is it clear? There is reality. Like how, when you are seeing the ocean, you are very clear. You are seeing the ocean, you are seeing the water, and they are inseparable, you know, physically. But cognitively, you have discriminative knowledge. Water is satyam, way ocean is only name and form, which do not have really an existence independent of water. You know that very well. This is called what now? This is called viveka. Jala, samudra, viveka. Water, ocean, difference. The discriminative, you have the discriminative knowledge of water and ocean. You see the water, you see the ocean, you do not deny the existence of ocean, and you know the ocean and the water are physically inseparable, but intellectually you are 100% clear, water is satyam, ocean is mithya, and ocean is just the name and form which really does not exist. What exists is only water. You are so clear. Is any doubt there? The same way, but we do not have that difference here. We do not know what the reality is and what this Namarupa Prapancha is. All the objects we perceive, how every wave you see, you know water and name and form wave. But here every object you see, mic, cup, table, flower, living being, non-living thing, everything you see, can you differentiate, can you have that existence and Namarupa? Can you say that? No. There we are not able to see. We do not have the discriminative knowledge of existence, the reality Brahman, and Mithya Namarupa. The difference between, it's like the difference between water and ocean being covered. Like that, here also the Brahman and Namarupa difference, the difference between the reality and Namarupa object is covered by what now? The same Avarna Shakti. So externally also it is covered. Because externally the difference between Brahman, the reality, the existence and Namarupa is also covered, what happened? There also there is a mixing up. You mistake one for the other, which means you do not see the reality, then you do not see the reality, you mistake the Namarupa Prapancha for Mithya Namarupa for Satyam Brahma. Satyam Brahma means what? You mistake perception of the universe also is erroneous. This error in perception of oneself caused by the covering of self and non-self internally, There is error in perception of the external world because of the covering of the difference between reality and the Namarupa Prapancha. And what is the erroneous perception of the world? You think universe is real. This notion about the universe also is wrong. Universe is real if you think you have your notion about the universe is wrong. I am mortal, unhappy, insignificant, inadequate, limited being. If you think your notion about self also is wrong. So there's erroneous perception of the self, perception of the world also. What is the error in perception of the world? Universe is real. Absolutely real. How do you know that we have that notion? Because we rely on the world. We become naturally dependent on the world for our happiness and security. How do we know that we think the world is real for us? How do you know? Don't even know. Not knowing that we think the world is real, we are thinking the world is real. You know that? How do we know that? Are I understand that? You have to remember, ask this question. Because we are dependent on the world for security and happiness. Why do we become dependent on the world for happiness and security? Because world is very valid as something absolutely real. Why world is valid, absolutely real? Because I do not see what is mithya and what is satyam in the world. Why? Because the difference between reality and Brahman is covered. I don't even see the reality. Cognitively, I am not able to appreciate pure existence being the reality. How intellectually I am able to appreciate the water being the reality, ocean being as the name and the form. Gross example. But intellectually I am not able to appreciate what is absolutely real and what is empirically real. What is mithya? I don't see that. I don't mean any human mind doesn't see that. Therefore, what is it which causes this covering? Isn't it? Internally and externally. At the individual level, total level, the avarna shakti alone covers. This is how samsara. So what is samsara, I said? And what is, isn't it? How samsara, what a cause samsara also is explained here as the third topic. Third? 1, 2, 3. Is it clear? Now, it's a fourth topic. When the mind becomes functional, thoughts rise. And the thoughts, each thought serves as manifesting medium for consciousness. Where each thought becomes what now? Conscious thoughts. An important lesson here is mind is of two aspects. One is the mind material and the mind material and the thought aspect of the mind. I told you this in the class. Like how ocean and the waves, they are not two different things, but there is an ocean. Underneath there is the base ocean, and then there is the wave part of the ocean also. Similarly, mind is of two aspects. One is dravya shakti, dravya amshaha. One is vritti amshaha. Remember that those things I told you long ago. This dravya amsha is there. The vritti amsha alone becomes what now? The vritti aspect of it resolves, rises, resolves. And this, when the mind, both the aspects of the mind become conscious and sentient because of the manifestation of consciousness. The vrittis are there, there is manifestation of knowledge as I am. When the vrittis are not there, there is no manifestation of knowledge. As I am, this is. I am, this is. I am, this universe is. For the knowledge to manifest, there must be vrittis. And deep sleep state, this vritti aspect is non-functional. It remains resolved, therefore there is no manifestation. Vrittiyamshaha, dravyamshaha, you have to remember that. And with these vrittis alone, the mind, I said how the knowledge takes place, the vritti, the conscious vrittis, they are of the nature of expanding and contracting. When the mind becomes functional, the vrittis arise, which means the mind is functional, vrittis are there. And vrittis, each vritti is conscious vritti, sentient vritti, because it is. And this conscious vritti is, they pervade the whole body. Therefore, all the sense powers become conscious and sentient. And these vrittis also go out through the senses. And they pervade the corresponding object also. Like netra vritti pervades form, color, light. Shrotra vritti pervades sound. And pervade means, like we don't imagine something like walking out and all that. And then the grana vritti, jihva vritti, through each sense organ vrittis go out. And they pervade the object. That's why the vrittis has a range. And the objects which fall within the range of those vrittis, they become illumined. They become known. And that is how knowledge takes place. Do you remember all these things or not? That's why knowledge does not come from outside. Knowledge goes from inside. You know that? This is something very different. Knowledge is already there, like a big reservoir of knowledge. It has to tap, it has to become manifest. And for knowledge to become manifest, again, even the external world is also, what is there? Door, wall, light, color. For all these things, different vrittis constantly, very fast, very quick. That is why mind is the fastest, we say. Faster. So then it goes out and then it illumines the objects and then each object becomes illumined. Then the knowledge takes place. This is how the external world also becomes perceived. External world is lent existence. So the vrittis alone, now we can say it is the vrittis. So with these vrittis, mind alone is responsible for what now? Creating the world, external world means, projecting the external world means, the whole jagat is create Ishwara Srishti. We call it Bhagavad Srishti, creation of the Lord, the external world. The external universe is not the projection of the mind. But what is projection of the mind? We have to say, the world which you create, the Jiva Srishtihi, your own creation, is Jiva Srishti. And Ishwara Srishtihi is just this universe. And Ishwara Srishtihi by itself is not a source of pain, nor is it a source of happiness. World is not responsible for your unhappiness. World is not responsible for your happiness also. Not a source of happiness also. But when you think anything in the world is responsible for my unhappiness, if you're dependent on anything in the world for happiness, thinking the world is a source of happiness, then you are overvalued. It is added value to the world. It added value to the world, giving more value than what it is, what it deserves, is what? It's your Jiva Srishti. It's called human projection, okay? Human mind's projection. That it is your projection. You see, you add more value to what it is, to the world. Added value is what now? To the world is Jiva Srishti. And if you think the world is responsible for unhappiness also is what? Any sentiments, is also what? All projection. I'm suffering, because this is gone, this is lost. My suffering is because of this. If you think, It's also your own creation, projection, your thinking. I'm not able to leave something very... People still keeping the thrones and things. This is the place where Ramanacharya sat once upon a time. This is the place, now chair where Adishankara sat. We don't know which is the exile, chair is still there or not. All the antique value itself, now the people's, the craziness of for these antique things itself is some sort of... Okay, respect for something is okay, different. Get preserve and protect. But sometimes added value is what now? Projection. That is projection. But the world is not mind's create. The world is not mind's projection. Mind projection means if you see the world as it is Ishvara Srishti. If you add value, more value to it, it is Jiva Srishti. If you think it is responsible for unhappiness, it is your creation, your projection. Ishvara Jiva Srishti. Okay? So this is the third topic. Okay, third topic also discussed, finished. So first, second, third is over. The fourth topic discussed is... Now the question comes, okay, now how to internally and externally, how to remove the covering? How to remove the covering inside, how to remove the covering outside? So, only by Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Shravanam and Mananam, you have to understand what actually the Self is, what the Self is not first, then what the Self is. Distinguish the Self from the non-self. By understanding what the Self is not, then you understand what the Self is. And understanding what the Self is not, thereby understanding what the Self is, will help you to understand what the reality is externally, what the reality is not. Externally also, what reality is not and what the reality is. And here the important word lesson comes. Astibhati priyam rupam nama chetyam shapanchakam adhyatrayam brahma rupam jagadrupam tatodvayam. Asti bhati priyam nama rupam. You take any object, and every object has five aspects. Every object is a form, given form. It has a name, and the name is not only the name and form. It enjoys existence, asti. It enjoys existence because what now? It shines, bhati. It has knownness. And every object has certain desirability also. There is no object which is not desirable at all in the world. If you think, no, I hate many things, I don't like at all, if you say, you may not like, there are people who like it. Therefore, every object, who cares whether you like it or not. Is there anybody who hates, is there somebody who does not like it at all if you ask? No, I like it. There will be people who like everything. Therefore, every object has its own. Really, there will be some people who like it. Therefore, desirability. That's why this asti bhati priyam. Asti means existence. Bhati means knownness. The object has the status of being the known, isn't it? Because it is knowability that is there, it is bhati. And priya means, therefore, knownness implies, stands for knowledge, Asti stands for existence and Priyam stands for Anandaha, happiness. So every object enjoys. If we say what is reality, reality is there in everything. Reality pervades everything. What is reality? Absolute reality, the Paramatma, Paravastu, Brahmavastu happens to be the very substance. Like how H2O, the substance pervades all the ways, the entire ocean, every drop in the ocean is pervaded by H2O because H2O is the substance. Like that, the substance implied by the term Brahman pervades every object here, living being, non-living thing, everything is pervaded by that means. What is that substance? Now that substance, so Shastram says the substance is of the nature of consciousness, existence and limitlessness or happiness. The reality is of the, reality is consciousness and the reality is the very existence. The consciousness is the very existence also and that consciousness which is the very existence is limitlessness or is fullness, is happiness, is anandaha. That is how it is. How the reality is? Reality is in the form of fullness, reality is in the form of existence, reality is in the form of consciousness. Oh my God. How the chocolate is? This is the form of chocolate. If you show, it's easy, isn't it? In what form reality is? Reality is in what form? Because you need some form to understand anything, isn't it? What is the form? In what form is the reality? Parampurul evvuruvil irikkirathu, endha vadivathil irikkirathu, eppadi irikkirathu? In what form is the reality? A reality is in the form of very pure knowledge, pure consciousness, or existence, and is of the, in the form of very fullness, nirevaha. அறிவாக இருப்பாக பரம்பொருள் இருக்கிறது. Reality is in the form of consciousness. And that is where how to know what consciousness is, isn't it? And that is where we say reality is available for recognition only inside the mind, in the mind as manifest knowledge. The same reality is available for recognition as manifest existence. You have to, how am I to know the reality? Which is of the nature of existence, consciousness and limitlessness? Which is in the form of consciousness, existence and limitlessness? How am I going to understand? You can never understand reality as pure consciousness, as pure existence, as pure limitlessness. So you have to, the Shastram tells you, you are always experiencing reality. Am I experiencing reality? Yes, always you are experiencing reality. Because when you are experiencing the wave, what you are exactly experiencing is only the water. It is impossible for you to experience the wave without experiencing the water. So also you are experiencing the reality Brahman when you're experiencing anything in the world. Experience of a living thing, experience of a non-living thing, experience of mobility, lack of mobility, absence of mobility, experience of subtle thing, a gross thing, any experience. Every experience is what? Reality. Experience of anything in the world is experience of the reality. Which means, how is that then? How water is inseparably with the name and form ocean, so reality is, Brahman is very much inseparably, irremovably, is there in every object, with every object, in the form of the object. That which appears in the form of every object is nothing but reality alone. Paramatma alone appears in all these forms. forms are different, names are different, but actually what is that which appears in all these forms is Paramatma only. But how to know that? Which means, are we experiencing Paramatma? Yes, we are experiencing Paramatma, Parambrahma. But how are we experiencing? We are not experiencing as pure knowledge or as pure existence. We are experiencing Paramatma as what? As manifest knowledge, as manifest existence. And inside the mind, in your own mind, you are experiencing Paramatma as manifest knowledge. You are experiencing Paramatma as manifest existence in the externally, outside. So what should you do? Manifest knowledge and manifest existence means the knowledge with the manifesting medium is called what? Manifest knowledge. Existence with the manifesting medium is what? Manifest existence. So can you separate the manifesting medium and the manifest knowledge or manifest existence? Physically you cannot separate. Like what? Like how you cannot separate the mirror and the reflection in the mirror. How you cannot separate the ocean and the water? So also you cannot separate the manifest existence or manifest knowledge from the manifesting medium. So inside the mind is the manifesting medium for consciousness, thought is the manifesting medium. Externally every object you see what? Manifesting medium for existence. Therefore, what you can do, intellectually alone, you can remove the manifesting medium. Understand what is manifest knowledge. Understand what is manifestation of existence. How existence is manifest. How knowledge is manifest. Then remove intellectually the manifesting medium. Intellectually, cognitively, if you remove the manifesting medium internally, you get what? You arrive at the nature of reality. So, like cognitive. See, externally also remove the manifesting medium, then you arrive at pure existence. Then the pure existence and its pure consciousness are not two different things. You understand that? One and the same. Then you understand what is reality. And for which, therefore, here the Sat Chit Anandaha is the nature of Brahman, reality, existence, consciousness, and fullness or limitlessness. And that means these three, the nature of the reality in threefold forms, are definitely is there what? Is there in every object. Every object is mixed with that nature of reality. At Asti. Now we say Nama Rupa alone or Mithya. Then what is Satyam? What is reality here? Existence of, suppose you say Pushpa Gucchaha Asti, the flower bunch is that, and then flower bunch is known. It is known as Asti Bhat because it shines. How can you say it is? Because it shines. How do you say it shines? It shines, I know it is, it's there. And you like it? Yes, we like it. So it has desirability also, isn't it? Because it pleases me. Therefore, every object has these three aspects. Asti, Bhati, Priyam. The three aspects enjoyed by every object is what? Actually belong to Brahman, reality only. And name and form alone belong to this object, which is Nama Rupa. This is one method, he says. And there you have to, can you separate them physically? Can you remove the existence of the flower bunch? Is what? Existence. And knownness of the flower bunch is what? Knowledge of the flower bunch. Knowledge is manifest knowledge. Knowledge of the flower bunch. Existence of the flower bunch, desirability of the flower bunch, of the three are what actually? Nature of the reality. How reality is there manifest in this flower bunch? Reality is manifest here in this name and form flower bunch as existence, as the knowledge of the flower bunch, as existence of the flower bunch, and as the, you know, desirability of the flower bunch. This is how we separate, we understand. Cognitively we understand that everything is pervaded. But still, what is that which is the Sattu Chittu Anandaha, which is manifest as Asti Bhati Priyam in every object? What is that? Yes, we know only in your own mind. As the very self, as the very meaning or sorupam of very I, sorupam of one's own self. Not, oh, I see Brahman is, there is the existence of everything, knowledge of everything, desirability of everything. There's no moksha there. It doesn't serve really much. So that existence of every object, that knowledge of any object, and desirability of any object, which is the nature of reality, which that reality is myself, my own self, my own sorupam, and for which to understand this and to ascertain this, there is a method of nididhyasanam. Okay, the method of nididhyasanam, contemplation through the practice of samadhi, is discussed as the fourth topic, Indra-Krishi-Viveka. The method of contemplation through the practice of samadhi. That is the only way of contemplating, but still discussed there. And there, the author presents sixfold samadhis. Now you have to be very careful. Vedantic samadhi is different from yogic samadhi. Samadhi he explained in yoga philosophy. The saguna, because nirvikalpa samadhi, savikalpa samadhi in yoga philosophy is completely different. Within savikalpa and nirvikalpa, samadhi in yoga philosophy means putting the mind to sleep, which means having all the thoughts resolved by deliberate effort of focus attention on one thing called meditation. You focus attention on a given object, which is meditation, and which practiced seriously for length of time, in due course of time will help you to resolve all the thoughts, and which is an experience which stays for some time, because it, and then it's subject to get lost also. That experience will go. It won't be there permanently. Whereas avikalpa or nirvikalpa, any samadhi is not moksha, because in savik, that in experience of having all the thoughts resolved, you are free from pain for length of time, which is an experience, which is very, very desirable experience. It is a pleasure. But ignorance does not go there in that experience. Therefore, ignorance born samsara also does not go. One experience, it goes for after some time, again you will be same, back to square one, will be like, same. Maybe will be more calm for some time, but still will be the same. It doesn't free you from bondage. Whereas here in Vedantic Nididhya, in Samadhi, only the author presents, this is very unique technique present only in Dhritarishiveka text. So he talks about sixfold samadhis. Through this practice of samadhi, he means placing the attention of the mind on a given object, given thing for length of time, is samadhi. Samadhiyate, samyak adhiyate, asmin iti samadhi. No, my attention of the mind is placed totally in something. my attention, the mind being placed totally in something is called samadhi. Adhiyate means is placed. Vaikkapadigirathu. What is placed? Attention of the mind. How focused, well, perfectly, completely distractionlessly, distractedlessly, you know, without any distraction, attention of the mind is placed in one thing, it's called samadhi. And here through this practice of samadhi, and then there's a method of contemplation is taught. And he says this antara samadhi and bahya, he talks about two samadhis. Antara samadhi, bahya samadhi. Internal meditation, external meditation. And internal also is what now he separates, you know, two types. Internal meditation is two types, the two kinds, and then external also is two. Divides them into two. As antara, savikalpa and nirvikalpa. So bahya also savikalpa and nirvikalpa. We have savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. Antara internally, internal meditation is also what? Savikalpa and nirvikalpa. And external also savikalpa and nirvikalpa. So we have samadhi, antara and bahya two. And each again is two, what now? Antara, savikalpa and nirvikalpa, four. And savikalpa alone is of two types. One is drishya anuviddha savikalpa samadhi. Shabda anuviddha savikalpa samadhi. Nirvikalpa samadhi is only one, so no problem. So totally you get three each. Drishya anuviddha savikalpa samadhi. Shabda anuviddha savikalpa samadhi. Nirvikalpa samadhi. Three antara, three bahya. So totally we have sixfold samadhis. And here he helps. It is very difficult for us to straight away, if you are asked to focus on something abstract, even space, for example, okay, may you all now visualize or see only the space. If I tell you, it is difficult for the mind to comprehend the space without, you know, removing all the objects. Space, if I say, space means you can never, because space is very abstract. May all focus attention on the just the light. Difficult, very abstract substance, isn't it? You cannot. Therefore, always what we do, we take something. If I ask you to focus attention on light, what I say, see what is here. If you said, oh, there is a mic. How do you know it is mic? Yes, we know, we see the form and name, it shines. What is it, the color? It is black in color. Are you sure it is mic? Yes, why? Because you know it shines. Suppose if there is no light, if there is only darkness, can you see the mic? Then the mic will not shine, so we cannot see the mic. So the mic shines because it reflects light. If the mic does not reflect light, it cannot shine also. It is of the nature of opaqueness. Therefore, the opaque mic now shines because it reflects light. For it to reflect the light, there must be light, isn't it? There is light, which means there is light. Now, what is the very proof the mic shines itself is the proof for the light being there. So you first you see the opaque, first see the opaque, then from the opaque mic, I ask you to see the light. And what is that light? There is light in the presence of the opaque. Light is called reflected light. The absence of the opaque light is same light is called pure light. Really speaking, there is, these two adjectives, reflected light and pure light, when you say pure and reflected, two adjectives actually are used as adjectives only when with reference to this opaque. The opaque is not, they don't need to say pure or reflected, just the light. But we need all these words, reflected light, then we talk about the pure light, to arrive at the meaning of the word just the light. We negate all of them later on. Similarly, we say in the presence of the opaque mic, the light is, what now? There's a reflected light. And what is reflected light? If I remove the opaque, what is there is? Just the light, isn't it? Pure light. So, reflected light is nothing but pure light. Is it true or not? Reflected light is nothing but pure light. A pure light, there is no such thing called a pure light. Next step. We don't need to say pure light because there is no impure light. There is only light. Therefore, pure light is nothing but the light. Is it clear? Therefore, now what we do? Now, if I ask you to meditate on light, now may you focus attention on light. If I say, you do what now? First, you take the opaque, and from the opaque, shift attention to the light, in whose presence alone opaque shines. Shifting the attention from opaque to light and focal attention on light is called opaque anuvidha prakasha samadhi. Is it clear? Which means meditation on light associated with the opaque. Because you can't focus on pure light, just the light. Because abstract. In the same way, here also, anuvidha, anuvedha means associated, association. Antara drishya anuvidha means, drishya means object of perception. What is internally perceived is what? There's a thought, isn't it? Antara drishyam. Antara drishya means internally perceived. Antara drishya anuvidha means, see, focusing, shifting the attention on, attention from internally perceived thought to consciousness. What is associated with what? Consciousness is. So you are supposed to internally, what are you supposed to meditate on? Consciousness. How can you who meditate on consciousness? But you are going to focus attention on consciousness. Which consciousness? Not pure consciousness. But consciousness associated with thought. So focus attention on consciousness associated with the thought, which is, where do you see the thought, outside or inside? In the mind, therefore internally. That's why antara drishyam. Antara drishya means internally perceived, internally seen, objectified is thought. So you see the thought first, you see your own thoughts first, understand the thoughts shine, and thoughts shine, and you also compare and see, in deep sleep states, thoughts are not there. In waking state, thoughts are, as I am, universe is, and not only this, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, different thoughts. Anger, desire, fear. These thoughts are all there. And in deep sleep state, all those thoughts are not there. So you compare and see, thoughts are there, thoughts are not there. So presence of thoughts also is known. And absence of thoughts also is known. Which means presence of thoughts is illumined. Absence of thoughts also is illumined. Which means what is the light in whose presence the presence and the absence of thoughts becomes illumined. Now as you see the, now you can't think of the, you only compare and see, then you see only the waking state. Okay, these are all thoughts. And from the thought, what do you do? Thoughts shine, is it? Because of the presence of consciousness. The opaque shines because of the presence of light. Thoughts shine, you know you, I am, you know. I mean, what now? That knowledge, isn't it? The universe is. So thoughts shine because of the presence of consciousness. Thoughts cannot shine if there is no consciousness. Ennangal vilanguhindrana. Why? Velicham irikkirathu. Arivu irikkirathu. The thoughts shine because consciousness is. Don't say consciousness is because thoughts shine. Thoughts shine because consciousness is. Now what is that consciousness? Reflected consciousness. Light, see, opaque shines because the light is. There is reflected light. Thoughts shine because consciousness is. That is reflected consciousness. Now what is reflected light? Reflected light is nothing but pure light, isn't it? So what is reflected consciousness? Nothing but pure consciousness. When the opaque is removed, what is there? Pure light. When the thoughts are not there, what is there? Pure consciousness. Is there pure and impure and reflected? No, just the consciousness. Okay, so now focus, see the thoughts. Now in Savikalpa Samadhi, you take thoughts as a support. Like how to focus the attention on light, which is abstract, you use the opaque as a support. And from the opaque, shift the attention to the light. Similarly, in Antara Drishya alone you take. Next class I'll talk about it. The next class I conclude the topic, then I start the, introduce the Mandukya also. Because very, very important thing this is. The Upasamadhi, I want to do really clearly all the six samadhis. Now only seeing the first one now. So see the thoughts first, then from the thoughts shift the attention to consciousness. The shifting the attention from thoughts to consciousness is what? Antara Drishya Anuvidha Savikalpa Samadhi. We call Savikalpa Samadhi. Because there, then still there's a division is there. I am the meditator. I'm focusing my attention on thought. And I'm shifting my attention from thought to consciousness. And which is my own swarupam. I'm focusing attention on my own swarupam, the consciousness. The division is there. Therefore it's called Savikalpa Samadhi. Nirvikalpa, the division will not be there. Is the first step. All the six together serve as what? Method of contemplation. Not just the one alone. Just step, first step. Is it clear? Thought to consciousness. Opaque to light. Thought to consciousness. Now, when I ask you to see the opaque and shift your attention from opaque to light, am I giving you a new experience of light? I am only making you see what you are already experiencing. I am only helping you to shift, that's all. This helping the mind, helping the one to shift from the opaque to light is what now? Teaching. Not the giving new experience. That is why Vedanta study will never give you a new experience. People study Vedanta expecting one fine day something will happen. Something will happen, a new experience will happen, they wait. That is why the traditional teaching, I tell you, is very difficult for people who come for binary answers. How does Vedanta help? One line, they want an answer. No, that is why Vedantic teaching, traditional teaching is dead against any experience. People say we have spiritual experiences. What spiritual experiences? Any experience, your own projection from just Vedanta says, come on, it doesn't value at all. No, I had a special experience. Devi came with all her, dressed like this. No, how her eyes looked, how her nose looked. I saw, had this experience. Who denies? You had a wonderful experience of Devi, no doubt. It's my own projection. It is not moksha, it is not jnanam, it is not these things. No, I saw coming, I saw. No, the chair moved. No, the prasadam was taken away. Bhagavan walked in. Anything falls, doesn't matter. All these are possible. Nothing is impossible. And they're all experiences. Reduce anything as experience. An experience means time bound. It is neither enlightenment, nor moksha, nor jnanam. You don't deny the experience. You may have had experience. Don't need to deny the experience. But don't overvalue experience. Accept the experience. Okay, fine, maybe. It's possible. I was thinking of last night's that Apita Kuchamba Devi's murti. I was thinking of her sometime in mind. And it comes. Naturally, it's good to have such things. No problem. Instead of having some rubbish things, having Devi is good. But doesn't mean that you should not mistake it for jnanam or moksha. To avoid the unwanted things in the mind only, we have such things. And from there you have shifted to actual realities. Anyway, so here you are not given a new experience here. You are ever experiencing consciousness. In every, when you experience every thought, you are experiencing consciousness. What you're experiencing is what? Reflected consciousness. But how are you going to understand what is pure consciousness? Intellectually remove the reflecting medium. Understand that is what is pure consciousness. That is what your real swarupam. Cognitive, removal. So this, when you say, you are not, there's no jealousy, hatred, anger, desire, tension, anxiety, also is what? Fear, everything, every vritti, every form of thought is what? Experience of every form of thought, every experience is experience of consciousness. What is reflected consciousness? So this is the shifting attention from thought to consciousness. Now you leave the thought, now analyze this nature of consciousness. Next step. So shifting attention from thought to consciousness is the first step, which is called Drishya Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi. And the second step is analyzing the nature of consciousness. And what is the nature of consciousness? How do you analyze? Not just yourself. You use the words of Shastram. There are many words of Shastram which reveal the nature of consciousness. And you see the nature of consciousness which you are focusing on now, and the meaning of, as the meaning of the words, the nature of the consciousness you are focusing on is the meaning of the words of Shastra. The nature of the consciousness I am focusing on being the meaning of the words of Shastra. What are the words we have? Yekaha or Yekam, Nityam, Sarvagatam, Asangam, One, Permanent or Eternal, All Pervasive. These are the words of Shastra. Reality is all pervasive. Reality is one. Advayam, non-dual. Advitiyam, secondless. Asangam, unattached, untainted. So all the words. And now see the meaning of, see the nature of consciousness is the nature of the reality, the consciousness you're focusing on, is the nature, is the meaning of each word. Got it? Hope you're all understanding what I'm saying. Therefore, see, as you're focusing the attention on consciousness, you analyze the nature of the reality, the consciousness, as the meaning of the words of Shastram. That is called what? Shabda Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi. Which means, focusing the attention on consciousness associated with the meaning of the words of Shastram. Got it? Now you can see this consciousness, is it one or many? Let's take one word, ekam. Ekam, one. Then nityam, eternal, timeless. Which means, does consciousness have a beginning? Does consciousness have an end? Does this, now you know what consciousness is. Therefore, you can analyze the meaning of the words. Nature being the meaning of the words. Nature of consciousness being the meaning of the words. You are not mechanically saying it. You are seeing the meaning, isn't it? And how to do that, we'll see next class. Okay? Shabda Anuvidda we'll do next class. Because time now.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.